Japan Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is Data Center Virtualization, Digging Deeper. Our guests for today's show are Mark Berkman and Simon Crosby. Mark is the Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Symantec, and Simon is the Chief Technology Officer for Virtualization and Management Division at Zensource. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for taking the time to participate on this show. So how is Christmas shopping going for you? Are you carrying your respective wife's shopping bags?
I haven't started yet.
You haven't? Oh, my God.
I've only done virtual shopping until now.
There you go. See, we are connecting to the show today. All right, great. So this topic where we wanted to talk about data center virtualization and a little more depth. We have had other shows on virtualization. We spoke about how data center is one of the key areas where virtualization is really making a big impact. One is that we start and say, hey, let's make incremental changes and try to make data center better. But there has to be some sort of a vision of a data center of the future, the next generation data center. And how does virtualization find its place in that, in fulfilling that goal? Mark?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Data centers are evolving very quickly. I think we're at the threshold of a new generation of data centers, which will look quite different from the past. Virtualization plays a very big role in enabling users to leverage much more horizontal scaling, much more standardized hardware, lower cost hardware. The challenge will be, as it has been in each evolution of the data center, is how do we bring to bear the new technologies and not pay the price of added complexity. So management of the virtual machines, management of the storage that goes behind them, is going to be a key to success in evolving to this next generation of sort of internet-based or web-based data center.
I think that that's, Mark put it perfectly. The, you know, one of the big challenges that I see and that CIOs talk to me about is that they're worried that there's a new class of IT administrator emerging. You know, they have DBAs and MSIEs and CCIEs and every other thing, and they're very worried that they're going to end up with another class administrator called the virtualization administrator. I think it's imperative that we deliver the feature set of virtualization and the benefits of it as part of the existing IT enterprise stack. So our challenge has been to not think about virtualization as being all about server virtualization, but as about how to deliver, you know, new levels of security, manageability, dynamism, and reduce the complexity of the data center without having to introduce a whole new class of IT employees. That's one key limiting rate at which enterprises can adopt virtualization, is the rate at which they can get people up on the curve of this new feature set. And I think that that's the wrong way to think about it.
Now, you mentioned about reducing the complexity and increasing the security, and because they are the basic challenges because of which virtualization may not, or maybe people are a little skeptical still about introducing virtualization and totally going gung-ho with it, is because of these challenges. So don't you see that this being the inherent property or characteristic of bringing virtualization on the table?
No, not necessarily. I think the challenge that we have is how to deliver those benefits of virtualization as feature sets of existing stacks. For example, now with Zensource being part of Citrix, Citrix is very well known for its presentation server product line, which does a terrific job of remote desktop delivery. And I think of the feature set of virtualization under that as simply conferring a new set of properties on it. The ability that it can be dynamically provisioned, which comes from nothing more than separating software from hardware, that it can be flexibly scaled out to meet the needs of the workload, that we can have new properties in terms of availability, no downtime maintenance. If the fan is going out on a box, you can keep the workload up and running while you move it between servers, and you can have higher availability and so on. These are just properties of a next generation version of that application. It's not about saying to the customer, hey, you've got to go and invest in server virtualization as a separate concept, and then, yes, this application called Presentation Server will run on it. I'm much more focused on in the existing pillars of the enterprise IT infrastructure, of which storage is a key one, by the way, not forcing customers to do a full upgrade on their existing IT skill set, existing software assets, in order to get the benefits of virtualization.
See, the virtualization as a technology is still a means to an end, because we are trying to, at the end of the day, make data center more nimble. You know, very quickly it can react to change in the scaling that you want, and it becomes secure and things of that nature. So then we introduced, as that part of that goal, we have consolidation and virtualization kind of coming together, and we are attacking on what all problems we have. Like, we've got bulky data centers, or we've got multiple data centers which we want to consolidate into fewer. As we keep doing that, and we as bring more and more users, servers, etc., on limited number of or fewer number of physical hardware, we are almost reaching a point where we can say that we are kind of building a single point of failure situation. Is that a good assumption to make here, Simon?
No, it isn't. That is, it's incumbent on us as the architects of the next generation data center to make sure that the availability requirements of the enterprise are met. There is also a tremendous opportunity as we do this to confer higher degrees of availability on the existing infrastructure simply by virtualizing applications and assigning them into different categories of availability. In the event that physical servers fail, we can instantly reprovision and bring up the workload on another physical server because of the separation. So packaging everything up as a virtual machine allows us to immediately clone or have live standby copies of virtual machines, and to do this in a very cost-efficient manner. We can do 5 nines availability for virtual machines in software and very affordably, simply because virtual machines are a good packaging technique for software. However, we introduce significant additional complexity because the ability to move that workload dynamically between physical plants, between physical servers, and crossing the boundaries of networks and indeed storage means that the problem of mapping the application to the physical asset that is running on and ensuring that the fundamental availability constraint, that is, I don't have all of my eggs in one basket per se in terms of one key piece of storage infrastructure or network infrastructure, is a much, much more challenging problem. And that one, I'd say we haven't even got the first beginnings of how to solve in general as an industry. And so we need to learn from the previous generation, in fact, the current generation, of how these things get solved in terms of how storage is managed in a scalable, reliable way. And that's why it's so important not to throw everything out, but to simply leverage what we have, which exists today, and make it work for virtualization.
Mark, you come from the storage background, and that's where virtualization could be making the biggest impact. And that's why, to some extent, people started this very virtualization initiative. What do you see are the challenges are we cornering ourselves in some form when we're introducing virtualization?
Well, I think as I think you said earlier, the point of virtualization is it's a means to an end, and the end we're trying to achieve is more flexibility, better utilization of hardware, higher availability, and easier manageability. And one of the challenges is that the introduction of virtualization at the server level can achieve a number of those things for the server side of the data center, but if one isn't careful, it leads to increased complexity of managing storage. For large enterprises, which have been in the shared storage SAN environment for some time, the complexity comes about because they're basically proliferating the number of virtual systems, increasing the number of elements they have to manage storage for by, in some cases, orders of magnitude. And so they need tools to better manage the storage that supports those virtual machines. For small and medium enterprises that are moving towards virtualization, they may be encountering the challenges of shared storage and SAN technology for the very first time. And so, again, they're faced with a new type of complexity in managing storage. But integrating storage virtualization into the stack as part of the virtualization solution can help alleviate that. And that's one of the things that we're doing, working very closely with Zensource.
So let me add some meat behind that. In our view, one of the great things about the storage world is that it is highly skeptical of change. Because if you lose the bits, then, you know, somebody loses their job. And so as far as we're concerned, we're pretty competent building a virtualization platform for server resources. But are we competent? And by the way, is anybody else in the virtualization business per se, server virtualization business, competent at delivering, you know, absolutely bulletproof yet scalable storage management technology that can be automated and used to manage virtual infrastructure? The answer is no. And so one of the trends that we've seen that is I actually view as rather alarming is that, you know, the tendency towards using a proprietary cluster file system between server virtualized nodes, which hides all of the visibility into the virtualized infrastructure, virtual machines per se, from the storage infrastructure. And the reason that this is so important is that the right place to do things like backup, snapshotting, cloning, and disaster recovery and all of the things that relate to storage of virtual machines is in the storage infrastructure. And so simply leveraging the powerful capabilities of the storage infrastructure, for example, that Semantic Veritas has built over the years, is absolutely the right way to go about it, rather than trying to build all of the storage infrastructure again. Make people do a different kind of backup for virtualized worlds and different, you know, different disaster recovery techniques. So first, the partnership with Symantec that we have is very profound. It gives us all of the ability to address complex storage situations without having to force a whole new methodology for dealing with virtualization onto the storage industry.
Now, I would also add that the situation is somewhat symmetric, which is thinking that you can just take traditional storage management, storage virtualization software and treat a virtual environment the same way as we've historically treated physical environments is a little bit short-sighted, because there are fundamental differences when you are isolating the environment from the physical hardware. And that means that to be really effective, the storage virtualization software has to be sort of intimately tied into the underlying virtualization platform. It can't be just something you plop inside of a virtual machine and treat the virtual machine the same way that we've historically treated physical machines.
So are you saying that it should be tightly integrated?
I think it needs to be part of the virtualization stack.
And that is being provided by two different vendors. What then? Are we kind of going away from the open system standards where we can, you know, plug and play different things?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that, you know, historically we've in our business, we've seen storage virtualization and OSs supplied by different vendors and interact through open standards. The key is that the OS vendors have opened themselves up in the open systems world, and similarly here, I think that working with Zensource has opened itself up, and we're working very closely with them to do that integration.
Yes, I actually concur with Mark on this. The industry has decided that there is that storage is independent of the operating system. Just as it's decided that security is independent of the operating system, by the way. Having built a great hypervisor, indeed a virtualization platform generally, you know, the next area that becomes dynamic once you've got these dynamically movable, runnable operating system plus app images is you've got to address storage. So storage cannot be permanently tied to a physical box anymore. In the sense that you want to be able to move virtual machines between physical plant on the fly. So you have to address storage, but that doesn't mean that we, the virtualization platform vendors, have to become storage vendors. In fact, we are profoundly incompetent at it by comparison with the vendors who are. And that's the right way to look at the problem. So I really do think that virtualization vendors going down a path of building their own backup and disaster recovery and cluster file systems and storage infrastructure generally is absolutely the wrong way to go about it, because storage managers today don't use that stuff. It breaks all of their existing procedures. It's another level of complexity that is virtualization specific and doesn't deal with the rest of the infrastructure, which is 95% of physical servers today. And it's another whole set of procedures that they have to adopt. So I view that as slowing down the adoption of virtualization. And also hiding, very importantly, hiding all of the virtualization properties all of the cool things one can do with virtual machines from the storage world. So we like smart storage. We like storage that can snapshot and clone virtual machines for us. Why? Because it avoids us having to drag the bits off the storage infrastructure and do it in software and write it back out to the storage infrastructure again. It's the right place to do it. The storage vendors know that, and that's why working with vendors who have built their entire lives around how to do that correctly is the right way to go.
Yeah, I think there's one other point, and Simon touched on it, which is that, despite the rapid growth and rapid adoption of virtualization, it's not going to be the case that the data center will be 100% virtualized. And therefore, any data center manager is going to have to deal with an environment which has both virtual systems and physical systems. And being able to use a common set of tools for managing storage and backup and snapshotting and all the things that Simon mentioned vastly simplifies the environment and ensures that they don't have to create a new category of system manager or operator to deal with the uniqueness of the virtual world, that managing storage is a discipline across the data center, whether it be physical or virtual. And that, I think, is going to be one of the very important, remove one of the very important barriers to adoption of virtualization.
And while all along we have been talking about unlimited capacity virtually, I mean, no pun intended, but, virtually unlimited capacity on the servers, but still when we are looking at physical servers, we know what the maximum limits are. But now in virtualized space, your capacity planning strategy should be changing as well, and you got to be aware of where eventually the buck stops, that is at the physical server level. So how are those changes being, planned, or how is the capacity planning done today when we are already in the virtualization, in that age? Mark?
Well, I think that the one of the nice things that virtualization provides is the ability to very rapidly provision and deploy additional environments, something that has been a challenge in the physical world for many years. And one of the reasons why capacity planning, the accuracy of capacity planning was so critical is that it would take, in some cases, literally weeks to stand up and deploy an additional server in a data center. With virtualization, one can have virtual environments deployed in literally a matter of minutes. And the architecture of the next generation data center with much more significant horizontal scaling means that it's relatively easy to adapt to workload. The one risk that one has to be careful about is using virtualization to drive the utilization of physical hardware to very, very high levels that would cause the physical hardware capacity to become the bottleneck. But I think that the gap between current hardware utilization and sort of nirvana of 100% is so large that that's not really a very big concern. Users and customers we see who are, increasing their physical server utilization by large factors still have additional physical server capacity to allow them to rapidly deploy additional virtual environments in a very timely manner in response to changing workload without running out of physical hardware capacity.
And talking about the workload, let's look at the application load factor, because there were few cases mentioned where when the virtualization platform was introduced in the data center environment and if they were hosting applications, the total number of users they could support significantly reduced as compared to you actually using a physical server. So is it not in a major way offsetting the very value that virtualization would have brought in the first place for such situations specifically?
If I look at limitations on what server virtualization can address today from a workload perspective, it tends to be the high-end database workloads that tend to remain native. And arguably very highly interactive and or graphically or richly communication intensive user facing workloads. The rest of the core infrastructure set is now moving to a point where it can be readily adopted on virtualization. There is still a remaining overhead when you virtualize. Typically that's of the order of a few percent of a server. But the most interesting thing about the x86 world is that there are roughly 30 million servers out there, and they're all running legacy workloads. And when you bought that server and ran that workload on it, you know, and it ran well, that's the amount of resources that are required there is just a tiny fraction of a modern server. So as people go about consolidation, which arguably is just an emergent property of Moore's law, the box getting more and more capable all the time, that workload that ran very happily on a box you bought 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years ago is going to work superbly, arguably better in general, virtualized on a new server.
So I agree with that. I think the part of the point is that, yes, you pay a small price in terms of, you know, compute cycles that are being used by the virtualization layer, but the benefit you get is improved performance from a manageability point of view and capacity point of view, as we mentioned earlier, significantly improved manageability and significantly improved availability. And so it's a very small, I mean, in fact, it's a very efficient use of those additional compute cycles to provide that. And from the application point of view, the total amount of compute capacity that these hardware platforms are providing far exceeds what was available in most cases, in essentially all cases, when the applications were initially deployed.
So, you know, very quickly looking at the I/O side of things, where you are making these very powerful servers and virtualized environment, where suddenly one server is capable of handling multiple server loads, and accordingly your network bandwidth that is needed, that has to be multiplied as well, so that it can handle the in and out of data center, or even within the different servers, if at all, within the data centers, you're able to handle that much data going back and forth. What has happened on that front? I mean, while this is not a networking virtualization show, however, we can also look at the bottlenecks, the gotchas that you may have, which will prevent the virtualized data center to be 100% effective as you would like to see if network was becoming the weakest link again.
So, go ahead, Mark.
I think that, you know, from the point of view of the amount of data coming into and out of the data center, that's governed really by the overall workload, and that is not going to change depending on whether you have virtualization inside the data center or outside or not. The real issue is that within the data center, there may very well be an increase in inter-process or inter-server communications when you add virtualization. And I think that's one reason why we see the server vendors driving to much, much higher bandwidth interconnect, both within the servers and between the servers within the data center. And I think that we'll continue to see that trend continue, but the amount of data coming into or out of the data center is more a function of the service one's providing from that data center and less a function of how you implement that inside the data center.
I'd say that's correct. The real change right now is closest to the CPU, where, you know, probably we'll move from 2 gigi interfaces per standard server next year to 4. So, and then probably the year thereafter we'll move to 10 gigabit per in volume, 2 10 gigabit Ethernet interfaces per box in volume. And at that point, you know, can we keep up with that is a reasonable question. The answer is yes. We've recently demonstrated 9.8 gigabits per second of iSCSI performance out of a modern server. We do this through leveraging enhancements in the I/O stack that is being provided by the I/O chipset vendors. In general, what I'm seeing there is a disaggregation of the server itself to some extent using PCI Express and PCI Express switching and various forms of I/O enhancements closer to the CPU. Within the data center, in general, there is this looming issue, which is that networks are managed by different people than servers, and it's even more pressing than server and storage people, in that if I move a virtual machine between cluster A and cluster B, I might suddenly find myself crossing VLAN boundaries and various other security boundaries in the infrastructure, and that is an area which is going to be quite difficult to address because it has to address not only a fiefdom issue within the enterprise IT infrastructure from a skill set perspective, but also it involves the overlapping management and unified control of multiple disparate resources in the data center. There is one area that I think is quite interesting in the mid-market that I'm seeing emerge quite rapidly, which relates to moving virtual machines over the network, and that is that I'm really convinced that in the mid-market, disaster recovery will become a hosted capacity. That is, if I have a primary data center, once I've got my apps virtualized as virtual machines, I can move those virtual machines very efficiently over the wide area network using, you know, these WAN compression technologies. Riverbed is one. Citrix has a product called WAN Scaler, to an alternative disaster recovery site where they can be instantly provisioned in the event of failure of a primary. But I also see hosting providers moving into that business, because all they're doing is really selling insurance against the probability that a physical server or data center fails. And that area is picking up steam quite rapidly.
No, yeah, I would agree.
You had some more thoughts, Mark?
Well, I was going to say I would agree with that. I just wanted to add one other comment because Simon touched on it. I think it's an important point, which is that the emergence of virtualization is enabling essentially a complete rethinking of the physical server and a disaggregation of functions which historically were determined by the hardware vendor, configuration of, you know, network capacity, storage, compute, et cetera. Because the virtual environment is the, you know, the environment which the operating system and application sees, it's no longer necessary to have a fixed hardware platform underneath it. And that means that you'll see, I think, a lot more disaggregation of the physical server, which will allow customers to both fine-tune the physical server that they have things running on, and also potentially not have to wait to replace an entire physical server to take advantage of, for example, a new network capability or new network capacity.
If you were to compare the performance levels as an end user sees, virtualized versus non-virtualized environment, do you see any degradation at all?
It depends on the workload. In general, the answer is absolutely no. You can make it go faster and better, because typically that workload is running on a legacy server, which is by definition a lot slower than a modern server. And so you can make it go as fast as you want. The question is whether there are certain workloads which, when mixed together on a virtualized server, mix badly. And that is an area which is one which is receiving particularly close attention, urgent need for benchmarks and guidance, best practice guidance. So, for example, mixing several different database workloads on a virtualized server is probably not a great idea, because you can have these different systems beating against each other from on I/O. So, in general, people are looking for recipes and standardized procedures as to what workloads mix well on particular server infrastructure. Of course, the more you mix as well, the more you affect your availability story. So, for example, putting all of your database servers on one physical box would be a bad idea, because if you lose it, then you lose all of them. So, unfortunately, this, you know, it is all interlinked. It's not only performance, it's availability, it's security, and everything else. That is a bigger question, and I think we have a lot more to learn as we go down the path. That said, there is no excuse not to virtualize the stuff that is known well to virtualize today. That is, if you're buying a new server, there's no excuse not to put a hypervisor on it and throw away 5 or 6 legacy boxes.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the way an organization which is just about starting, or they are in the middle of getting this virtualization in place, how do they carefully select vendors and not limit themselves to one vendor, one standard, because these are very quickly evolving standards, and we want to be not on a spot in coming days when we are trying to move to other level or yet another advanced level of virtualization. We are able to go to other people, and we are able to follow the open system standards. So let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Talk about his money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjog Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is data center virtualization, digging deeper. And our guests for today's show are Mark Bergman and Simon Crosby. Mark is the Executive Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Symantec, and Simon is the Chief Technology Officer, Virtualization and Management Division with Zensource. We were talking about not cornering ourselves towards one vendor because this is an evolving technology and standards and interoperability related issues would still be there and existing, and we want to, of course, get there yesterday. So at the same time, we got to be also cautious. So when we are talking about not being limited to one vendor and still we want to get things done and we would have still integration issues. So what is the roadmap that you suggest at this time when it's not fully cooked yet, when the virtualization technology is not fully cooked? Mark, you want to take this?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is that it's very important for managers in data centers to not just jump in because they've heard from colleagues or read a magazine article or something about the value of virtualization. They have to understand the impact in their own environment. It's very important to understand, do they have the necessary skills? Do they have the, are they going to select the right tools so that they don't add increased complexity and create another silo within their operation to deal with the virtual world separately from the physical? I think that they need to, carefully evaluate the alternative technologies, the alternative products that are available. And, obviously coming from my perspective, which is heavily oriented towards the storage and security side, I would say it's also important that they understand the impact that virtualization is going to have in their storage environment and to their security environment, and that they select a vendor that understands the importance of integration of virtualization, server virtualization, with those disciplines.
You know, Mark is a consummate diplomat, and I'm paid to be that. So let me be a little bit more concrete. In my view, the first generation of server virtualization product out there, which, by the way, has been a VMware market, and they've done a fabulous job, but difficult to point at too many chinks in what they've done. If I have reservations about what they've done, they would be these. First of all, in the area of storage, I've seen the usage of virtualization and virtual machines as a packaging format for apps and OSs change quite substantially in the last 18 months. First generation is you package your app and your OS and everything else up into this virtual machine. That virtual hard disk becomes a unit of transaction for software deployments and backup and recovery and everything else in the data center, and those things start to contain valuable data belonging to the enterprise. So then it's a very reasonable question of, well, what the heck do I do with this package, which is really just a file that contains my OS and my app? How do I keep it up to date? How do I get the data out if things go wrong? And all of those sorts of questions. Virtualization is changing quite radically there. What I'm seeing now is that virtual machines are becoming hollow. That is, they're execution environments that contain applications. Perhaps the application is even added to the virtual machine on the fly. That is, you construct the VM on the fly. It's certainly what we do. And the data lives where it always should have been all along, which is in a separate, secure, well-managed storage infrastructure. So there are very definite architectural considerations that must be taken before you dive in. So just diving in willy-nilly and saying, great, I can just take what was running on a physical server, package it as a virtual hard disk file, and I'm off to the races, does not necessarily change the complexity overall for the customer. So this applies both on server virtualization and on desktop virtualization. Moving from 50,000 servers to 50,000 virtual machine images does not dramatically change the complexity of managing those units. Every one of them still has to be patched on Patch Tuesday and evolved and moved forward in time. And I think that what you're seeing now in the second generation of server virtualization products, where we start to consider the right way to build virtual machines, which is much more a synthesis, a dynamic synthesis of virtualized appliances on the fly, and the separation of application data from that execution environment, is a far more scalable way of doing it. The other thing that I think is absolutely critically important is I'm quite concerned about the fact that the storage area is hidden. Virtual machines are hidden from storage today. And I'm seeing glimmers of hope that that is about to change. Certainly some of these storage vendors are moving down a path where they will have virtual machine aware functions, that is, we can ask them to snapshot and clone virtual machines and so on for us. But in the first generation of server virtualization, the storage world was just a place to put some bits. And in my view, that undermines all of the value that people have placed in that storage infrastructure over the years and all of the trust that they've placed in it. So I think we have a lot of maturity still to come in the overall way that we use virtualization, and it's not a panacea. I think it's absolutely critical to bring some of the benefits of virtualization to those workloads that run native, and that's one of the areas that we are focusing on. That is, you can pick up the bits off a physical server, package them as a virtual hard disk, and then stream that virtual hard disk out of smart storage infrastructure onto any server at any time, even though that image is running native. So all you're really doing is doing remote streamed virtual hard disks. And then you don't have a hypervisor there, you're still only running one image per physical server, but you get the benefits of dynamism and an ability to scale out. Very large numbers of these things can boot from a single hard disk. So virtualization, as in a hypervisor, is not a panacea. It's a useful technology. It's why, we made it free. The whole agenda was to move beyond the hypervisor as the focus, both in terms of revenue, that is, people being charged exorbitant amounts of money for a hypervisor, in our view, was always a silly thing, because that isn't the end game. The end game is how to deliver a sane end-to-end architecture for the enterprise that it can become more dynamic and more secure. And so the hypervisor definitely is not the panacea. It's just an engine. It's not a car. And you can't go anywhere with just an engine.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think there's also an interesting analogy. I wouldn't stretch it too far, but when we first saw a large large deployment of Unix open systems coming into the data center, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, one of the challenges was that people didn't know how to manage all the storage that supported those servers. There were, tremendous tools for managing storage on the mainframe, but that same thing didn't carry over. And it took a while for the tools to mature and for data center managers to learn how to use them. Same thing is happening to some extent with virtualization as it moves into the data center. But it's actually both a bigger challenge and a much, much bigger opportunity, because, as Simon said, you have the opportunity to take these virtual environments and move them much more easily. They're much more containerized between physical hardware. And so the urgency of I don't want to say integration because that's too strong a word, but the urgency of ensuring that that storage and the virtual server environments are more intimate and more closely related is much higher in the virtual world than it was in the physical server world.
Yeah, to put it really bluntly, it's imperative that we simply snap in on top of the storage world. That is, it's absolutely imperative that the virtualization world simply snap in, and to the extent that we can directly call out to storage management infrastructure to get storage automated for us, that's the right thing to do. But mandating a change in storage is a profoundly silly thing to do, in my view, because storage managers know the right thing to do, and there's absolutely no evidence that the first generation of virtualization software has done the right thing in terms of managing storage for the enterprise. In fact, I'd say there's mounting evidence that it's done the wrong thing.
Yeah. Whenever we introduce virtualization, as we know, security is one of the biggest issues that comes up, and it's almost like a paranoia more than actually a security breach that could happen. Yes, complexity does increase security threats, but it's only so much you can do in terms of making a data center or your environment secure. How far do we go in terms of making it secure or you know, telling ourselves and our executive management and our crew that everything is good? And to what extent should we invest in that, given that virtualization does bring a lot, but then these security issues or the paranoia could kind of undermine what the values, you know, delivered by virtualization?
Well, I think virtualization brings with it, there are two sides to what happens from a security point of view. On the one hand, obviously, any new environment is going to provide potential risks that have to be managed, and I think virtualization is no different. And so, yes, we have to be aware of the security impacts of introducing virtualization and manage that very carefully. But what is a little bit unique in the virtualization world is it also brings a lot of new opportunities to significantly improve the security around an individual application or an individual environment. There are things that can be done in the virtualization layer itself, in the hypervisor itself, that can significantly improve the isolation protection of applications running in that environment, that can provide operating system independent security. The nature of the hypervisors are that they tend to be more lightweight, or put it a different way, much less baroque than the operating systems that they host, and therefore it's easier to make them secure and sort of ensure that they're correct. So I think there's a huge opportunity, and we'll see an explosion of new technologies within the virtualization environment that will significantly improve security to an extent much greater than the added complexity will increase the concerns over security.
I would concur with that. It applies both server-side as well as client-side. You know, when you're running one of the biggest areas of interest right now, I'd say there's a lot of smoke, not an awful lot of fire yet, but is to take desktop environments, so your PCs, where you currently have OSs installed on the hard disk locally, and then to centralize those, make them into virtual hard disks, run them in the data center on a server blade, and then remote the presentation of that. VMware calls that VDI. Citrix has a product there called Zen Desktop. And one of the opportunities there is for this tremendously diverse application set, and obviously it's predominantly Windows-based, to have a consistent layer of OS-independent, patch-level-independent security beneath it that can be implemented universally by the hypervisor. So arguably, the hypervisor gives us an additional security blanket. It's not a panacea in its own right. I'd say, in general, the virtualization platforms are pretty secure. There are very few known exploits, and in general, the hypervisor is not receiving and looking at the contents of packets. It's not its job. So there's a significant opportunity to improve security best practice in the enterprise. Again, it has to be tempered with the reality that is the following. If you're moving workloads between physical servers, then there's the potential for complication in the network one step down, where, for example, firewall policies or security policies implemented in the network could be out of sync with where the application happens to be running. And so, again, there's going to have to be some higher degree of interaction between the different layers of that infrastructure, just as we want to reach out to storage and ask the storage world to provision, snapshot, clone, and backup virtual machines. We'll want to reach out to the network at some point and ask it to implement appropriate security policies for the workload that we just moved to a particular server. How that resolves, I don't know. That is, whether we have to do it or whether an overarching end-to-end manager does it and instructs both of us, that's an open question.
Yeah, I think Simon brought up a very important point, which is that we've been focused on virtualization inside the data center. But in fact, from a security point of view, one of the really interesting opportunities is the use of virtualization on the endpoint to improve the overall security of the application delivered to the endpoint user by providing an environment on the endpoint device which is protected and managed from the data center. We can avoid a lot of the problems and concerns that enterprises have about allowing either their own employees or customers to access their data centers from off-site with potentially non-data center or non-corporate PCs. And so I think that we'll see a real boom in virtualization on the endpoint, which is going to be driven largely by concerns about security and manageability of the endpoint.
Go ahead.
It's a trivial example. It's very easy in that environment to hide certain devices on a PC so you can make sure nobody can copy the data off onto a USB stick. You can limit what packets come in and out and various other things. So I think there are some compelling new opportunities there. There will be several different form factors, that is, several different ways to deliver virtualization there. Again, the V word is overused. As we tend to do in the industry, we tend to get stuck on particular words. You can stream the application into an OS image. You can stream OS images onto clients. You can stream OS images onto virtualized clients, and you can have OS images streamed onto servers and then remotely present the desktop. That all is an area which is still in its earliest stages, and I think there'll be a lot of technology change, but a lot of interest in that in the next year, near or two.
See, as we've seen that, of course, there's an explosion in the way virtualization has been adopted, and now, accordingly, management challenges like security management challenges are also one of those dark areas where virtualization's total true value has been undermined. So now, as an organization, we are going to yet another set of vendors, or maybe to the same virtualization vendor who's provided the platform, and looking for tools to manage and be able to monitor the environment. So is the tool?
In my view, by the way, I don't think that we're competent to do storage. I don't think we're competent to do security. Security is an incredibly deep art and science, and it is absolutely not the skill set of either operating system vendors or virtualization platform vendors. And the industry has decided this a long time ago, which is why I'm quite amused by, the increasing efforts on the part of Microsoft to secure its code and so on. These are all good, but locking it up, to the extent that they start to lock up hard disks and various other things and secure the code base generally, it's good and it's bad because ultimately nobody trusts them. The industry has decided that best-of-breed security practices are represented by third-party vendors, and again, their Symantec is the ideal partner for us because the best-of-breed of security is already present, and reinventing it is absolutely the wrong thing to do. What we want to do is work with those guys to exploit that expertise in a virtualized environment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think the issue is that security and storage are both deeply specialized tasks. And just as, as a storage and security vendor, we wouldn't go out and decide we could build an operating system because that's a very specialized task, or a hypervisor or a virtualization solution because that's a specialized task. I think this is an area that has a level of maturity and depth of experience behind it, security and storage, that it makes sense to specialize and then work closely with the best of breed providers in the other areas to build solutions that customers can then use in confidence and be sure that they're getting not only, you know, the necessary best of class security and storage, but also the best of class virtualization. And it's incumbent on the vendors then to work together well. And so one of the things that's very important to us is that there be an openness on the part of the vendor to work well with ourselves and with other third parties that have deep expertise. And I think that's one of the things that ZenSource has done extremely well, is they've created an open environment in which to collaborate to build best of breed integrated solutions for customers, but which rely on the deep expertise of the individual parties that provide components of that solution.
Just to be very concrete about that, you know, we think that certainly in the context of Zen, which is the engine, first of all, having the security community collaborate in developing it, and indeed it is the case that we've benefited from IBM's secure hypervisor design, from contributions from the DoD, and various other security agencies. We have a very secure, multi-level secure architecture for the hypervisor. But then the whole objective is to build a strong ecosystem around that. And bear in mind that we as Citrix, ZenSource, are only one implementation of the Zen hypervisor. The commitment that we make to our ecosystem is that if you work with Zen, you work with all of us. And there are consistent open interfaces that can be consistently implemented across all of those products, no matter how they come to market. So the customer gets the benefit of the best in security or the best in storage and so on, the best in management. And so that ecosystem is starting to really gear up and go to market with us now, and it's very exciting to see its the benefits.
So as we were talking about the management challenge and having other vendors being used, so are we just tool-centric in our whole strategy that we want to use to take our data centers or our IT organization to the next level, or there is something which is driving that whole so-called ecosystem that we are trying to build, that while we introduce virtualization, but then to manage it, we're not just looking at yet another tool. We've got some other things in place as well. And this is the last question. Just we have a minute or so, so let's quickly inventory the things we can do.
So in my view, if we end up having to have yet another management console as a result of virtualization, that'd be a bad thing to do. Customers are very ingrained in the management environment, and that's a good thing because they have skill set trained on those things. It's our job to fit into that and make those worlds work for us. That is, simply confer these new properties on those existing management systems.
Yeah, I think that the challenge here is to make sure that it's not just a bag of tools, but in fact, and I think Simon used the term ecosystem, which implies to me that exactly what we're doing, which is working together to build a solution which includes not just the software, but also the processes and procedures that customers use to implement virtualization in a coherent way, rather than just providing a bag of parts. And I think that's one of the important challenges, is to ensure that customers aren't just going in and buying, you know, bits and pieces here and there and having to do all of the integration and get everything working themselves. That's why we work very closely with ZenSource to produce a solution that customers can use and count on, that it works together, that it's integrated, that it fits a set of procedures and processes that they can implement, and that that they also have the necessary support from the set of suppliers that are part of that ecosystem.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Mark and Simon, for sharing your thoughts and insights about the value that is promised by virtualization, and it's actually to some extent delivered as well on the data center virtualization front, and also helping understand the chronic issues that may be there which we need to be conscious about before we go all out with the implementation of this technology.
Pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you again. Now, consolidation and virtualization are both key initiatives that we see where global organizations are undertaking to build the next generation data centers. And what they're looking for is a data center which can scale quickly, will have a smaller footprint, and will be cheaper to operate, and also will be environment friendly. So that's a lot that they are trying to achieve. Now, this will all come at a price, which could be more investment in the new technology. There will be increased complexity that we'll have to deal with, and there may be security challenges which we'll have to meet. We cannot eat the cake and have it too, but I guess a happy medium ground can surely be found where the related investments in data center virtualization could very well be justified.
Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog All next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.